to the hearing of God's word, and I'm throwing a little curveball here. Instead of doing Acts chapter 8, I realize that you heard a sermon on that not too long ago from Adam, and so instead of doing that, I'm going to have us turn to Isaiah chapter 40, verses 25 through 31. Isaiah 40, 25 through 31. All right, hear God's word now from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 25 through 31. To whom then will you compare me that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's the reading of God's word. Let's pray and ask for God's blessing. Our Heavenly Father, we do acknowledge that we are those who grow weary and faint. And so we pray that you would provide strength this evening as we consider your word. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen me as the preacher, that you would strengthen all of us, all of those here, as those who hear your word. Lord, give us the strength that we need to take it into our hearts. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would work abundantly beyond our human means and our weaknesses. Bless us and make us a blessing to those around us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, we often forget that as human beings, we're limited creatures, and that God is not limited. We want to be competent with everything, with health that never fails. We want to have control over what happens to us because we think we know how things should be done. Last Sunday, I was teaching Sunday school in Martin Luther's 97 theses, which are his less well-known theses, and one of them is that man by nature is unable to want God to be God. Indeed, he himself wants to be God. Now, how true that is, that we want to be God, we want to be like God. It's a human desire that goes back to the Garden of Eden, and God's word here in Isaiah 40 challenges us in the best way with good news and with bad news. And the bad news is that you're a creature, you're going to tire out. Even youths get tired. My children, they run in circles, but even they get tired. They need a nap. They need rest. And the Bible here is not flattering. It tells it like it is. There's going to be times when you feel faint, and not just physically, but spiritually and emotionally. You're going to have times when you feel like you have nothing more to give, times when you feel like you can't go on. And yet the good news is that even though God is utterly sympathetic to us, he's not like us. He never tires, he never grows faint, and astoundingly, he promises to renew our strength. Well, as we jump in here to Isaiah 40, verse 26, has Isaiah reminding us of who we are in comparison to God, our small size, because he has us look up at the stars and consider the immensity of God who made them. It's like William Blake's poem, The Tiger. Tiger, tiger, burning bright in the forests of the night, what immortal hand or eye could frame thy fearful symmetry? In other words, if you think that the tiger is amazing, just imagine the one who created the tiger. Our awe at creation, like the stars in the sky, like the power of the tiger, it reminds us that there's one greater still, the one who created them all, our God. And there's a great application in this. If God knows all the stars by name, he knows us by name. You may seem to be lost in this immense world, but God knows you. He cares for you by name. It makes me think of Jonah. Jonah has this plant that springs up, and yet God, he cares for that plant that he just spent one day with. Imagine how much more God cares for his creations. My kids and I like to go every August to the Lego Expo, where these people put their Lego creations on display and stand in front of them and talk about them. If they care so much for their Lego creations, how much more God cares for his? He cares about all these things that we care about far more than we do. And we see this is part of Isaiah's message because the question comes up in verse 27. People were wondering if God has cared at all, if God cares. Isaiah's message is a message to people who were under impending doom. I didn't read chapter 39, but there God has announced exile in the Assyrian conquest. And so the people were dealing with the threat that was coming. And Isaiah is intentionally placing chapter 39 next to chapter 40 here. And chapter 40, the way it begins is, "Comfort, comfort my people." You know, Isaiah, God knows, and Isaiah knows, that you need comfort when you hear that your descendants are going to suffer, that they're going to go into exile. You need strength and endurance. Think about your own life and what might be ahead for you. We're reminded in God's word that among all the joys of life, there's also toil and tribulation. Ecclesiastes says it's vanity, life under the sun. And the people in Isaiah's day knew that exile was coming. They didn't know exactly what that meant. They didn't know it meant fiery furnaces and lions' dens. But God knew they would need comfort. He knew that they were going to say things to themselves, like what we hear in verse 27. Look there. "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my right is disregarded by my God?" Isaiah addresses the people here as Jacob, because Jacob was a biblical figure who experienced exile away from home. Just as the people of Israel would go into exile in Babylon, he had a great inheritance, but he needed to rest on the promise of God. Well, let me ask you, as we read verse 27, do you ever echo that yourself? Do you ever echo those words of verse 27? "My way is hidden from the Lord. My right is disregarded by my God." Perhaps I should put it another way. Don't we say this almost every day? "My way is hidden from the Lord," or the second part of that sentence in a different translation, "My judgment, my God, passes over," or "I don't get what I deserve." Do you think that way? This is self-talk. It's saying things in your heart about your situation, about God. One of the books I like that has this feature as well is the book of Malachi. It starts out with that great question. God says, "I've loved you." And they say, "How have you loved us?" Or later they say, "Where's the God of justice?" Or I think about David talking to himself when he's on the run from Saul. And 1 Samuel 27 says, "David said in his heart, 'Now I shall perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than I should escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will despair of seeking me any longer within the borders of Israel, and I shall escape out of his hand.'" Seriously, think about that. He is despairing, and so what does he do? He says, "I'm going to go save myself from Saul by going to the Philistines." Not a good call. And yet, how often are we like that with our own self-talk? We're always preaching a message to ourselves. The question is it a good one or a bad one? How many of us in despair and self-pity, in panic, think exactly what verse 27 says? "My way is hidden from the Lord. My right is disregarded by my God." The cynic says this. And ironically, isn't that what the idolater says as well? One who has a small view of God and views God as just another idol. He may have eyes, but he doesn't see. Psalm 94 puts it that way. How does Isaiah respond to this self-talk as he's anticipating what God's people are going to say. Verse 28 points us to the answer. God is never weary. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. It may fade into the background. You may not think about it, even though you've heard it. But Isaiah is reminding them, the Lord has it all planned out. He's got it planned out from the beginning. He has a plan beyond our comprehension, beyond what you can see in the back and forth of life under the sun, day in and day out. There's more than life in exile. There's more than life in the wilderness. There's more than, friends, whatever you're dealing with right now. The everlasting God, the Creator, is not surprised by anything that happens. The suffering that His people endure, it doesn't catch God off guard. It doesn't signal that He doesn't care. How can your way be hidden from the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth? And Isaiah is a great reminder to us. His whole prophetic book, really, is a great reminder that our doctrine of God matters. What we believe about God matters. You can't just let God and who He is fade into the background of our lives like highway noise. Knowing and hearing of God, it's practical. Letting Him fade into the background of your life, that's practical atheism. It's godlessness. Remember Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And the knowledge of God in verse 28 here answers that destructive self-talk of verse 27. Verse 29 continues to tell us about God. He gives power. Who does He give power to? To whom? To the faint, the one who has no might. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. We might think of ourselves as mighty, but who is it that He helps? He helps the one who has no strength. This is not from good to great. This is bringing something from nothing. He doesn't help those who help themselves. Perhaps you've heard that phrase, God helps those who help themselves. But God, none of us could help ourselves at all. God doesn't just help those who help themselves, who are mostly dead. He helps those who are all dead. Those who, like Paul in Philippians 3, cast away all self-reliance, all human achievement, and they do what? They declare spiritual bankruptcy. I can remember when I was a child, I would have bad dreams sometimes. I'd wake up in the middle of the night. I'd go into my parents' room, and I would try to wake them up, but they were tired out. And perhaps I wasn't very forcefully trying to wake them up, but they would often not wake up. They would just sleep through my panic. And my children have a similar experience. Tired parents don't give much help. You're not going to get much help when you're the tired helping the tired. Imagine if it was that way with God. Imagine if God got just as weary and tired as you do. You'd get as little help as a child trying to wake up slumbering parents. Friends, this is a moment for us to just be thankful that God is not like us. Remember when Elijah was battling with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel in 1 Kings 18, and Baal is not producing fire like his prophets were asking for, and Elijah taunts those Baal prophets. He says, "What's the matter? Is Baal musing, or is he relieving himself? Is he on a journey? Or perhaps he's asleep and has to be awakened." Now, we know we're not always available to help those in need. And if God is like us, if He sleeps, if He grows weary, then He can't always help. How can He renew your strength if He has to recharge Himself? Wouldn't maintaining the world, every leaf on every tree, every atom, every star, every drop in the bucket of the sea, wouldn't that tire out God? And yet Isaiah says, God never tires. He doesn't grow faint. His understanding has no limits. And that's why you can come to God at any point. You can come to Him again and again and ask for help. That's why you can rest on Him to provide strength at all times. He's always up for it. When Elijah was fed by the widow in Sidon in 1 Kings, her flour never ran out. neither did her jar of oil, because God has an inexhaustible supply. When you're weary, know that God is never weary, that he's infinite. Frankly, for us, we get tired, not just physically, but we get tired of doing the same things over and over again. We get tired of certain things that people do. Haven't you heard, I'm tired of you doing this or this or this? Isn't it comforting that God doesn't tire of us and our missteps, but he is perfectly patient with us? Imagine how God's people of old might have wondered how in exile, what was going to happen. Has God given up on us? Isaiah says here, God not only has the strength to save, but the will to save. He doesn't tire of you. I think about Jonah again, and I marvel at God's patience with him, right? He says no to God at the very beginning of the book. He tries to get away from God, and he still seems to rebel. Even at the end of the book of Jonah, he's still angry at the great revival that God brought. And yet, God was patient with him. And I think the fact that we have that book shows that God changed his heart eventually. And in the same way, friends, God is not tired of you, but is patient with you. He's patient with me and our repeated failures. If you're a Christian, united to Christ, given his Spirit, this has legs. It means that he enables you to continue to love the unlovable, to continue to sacrifice and lay down your life for others, to be patient with them and kind, knowing that God is bearing with you in all your failures and not weary with you. In fact, when we think about Isaiah's words, don't the promises here of God in Isaiah 40 point us ahead? Don't they anticipate God giving you spiritual strength, spiritual life? And in doing so, they anticipate the Savior who said in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let me ask you this evening, have you answered that summons? Have you come to Jesus as those who are heavy laden and found rest for your souls in him? You know, we love as Christians Philippians 3, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," and that is a remarkable statement. Of course, in context, and we take it out of context, but in context, it's the Apostle Paul is talking specifically about being content in every circumstance. His contentedness comes through Christ and in Christ, and yet people take that verse out of contrast. That doesn't make it any less true that it's Christ who strengthens us spiritually. He is the one through whom we can even make the cry of verse 27 that we feel like our way is hidden from God. Think about it. Your sins against your Creator mean that God should hide his face from you forever. That your way should be hidden from him, because your way is a sinful way. And if you were to get your justice, that justice would mean everlasting agony if it wasn't for Christ. That's your due. That's your right before a holy God. And yet Christ suffers that reality of verse 27, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He endured his way being hidden from God, in a sense, for 3 days until his resurrection. And he endured all that so that now the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, shines his face upon you with blessing, and you receive pleasant justice, the righteousness of Christ counted to you and received by faith. And so for the believer, it really is Christ who gives you strength, he who strengthens you. We desperately need that. We know what exhaustion's like. Perhaps you've been a runner, you've ran a marathon, our legs can feel like jelly. But what about spiritual exhaustion? Sometimes we get tired in serving the Lord, and yet God knows how to refresh his weary servants. Remember, he's done this time and again with people like Elijah, where he brought them strength when they were at the end of their rope, when they were discouraged, he renewed their strength. But all of us know Because we're God's creations and we're sinners, we know the experience that Isaiah is talking about here. We know the experience that sin is exhausting. Trying to justify yourself, trying to live up to the standards of your idolatries, it's back-breaking work. If your God is your belly, it's never going to be satisfied. And that's true of all of our idolatries. They keep requiring more and more and more from you. And idolatry surely is something Isaiah has in mind in many places, even in this chapter. Having the highest grade in class, it turns into being the valedictorian in class, which then becomes getting into the top university, which then turns into getting the best job, and so on and so forth. Even trying to cover up your sin, it's exhausting. Sin drains you. It empties your cup. It's the opposite of what Psalm 23 talks about with having a good shepherd who makes your cup overflow. Human strength, particularly when it's wrought with sin, it fails. Only the power and promise of God can sustain human perseverance. You know, athletes, I think, love this text, but God isn't just promising a second wind of running. He's not promising Gatorade from heaven. What he is promising is far greater. It's transformation. He says he's untiring, and he promises to make us like him. That doesn't mean becoming a $6 million man or woman, a robo-servant who never tires. He's not saying you're going to get beyond your human limitations and be something beyond human. You can't do everything. You can't be in every place. You can't fix all the world's problems. But what you can do is glorify and enjoy God where you are, where he's put you. And you do that by resting on him. You have to remember, renewed strength doesn't look the way that we might think it does. Don't you realize that all of God's servants have great flaws, and yet he is pleased to use jars of clay to house great treasures? Sometimes our greatest weakness isn't being human, but it's thinking that we're strong and therefore not relying on him. I've heard it put this way: are you too strong to be useful? Are you too strong to be useful? I think about Paul in 2 Corinthians 12. God knew Paul. Paul's way wasn't hidden from God. And what God knew about Paul was that he was in danger of becoming conceited, that his greatest danger was pride. And so what did he do? He gave him a thorn in the flesh. It can be called a messenger of Satan to harass me, and yet it was sent by God for Paul's good, to keep me from becoming conceited, he says. He pleads for it to be removed, and yet God's answer was no. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Be careful when you want to be great, because all of God's great servants have thorns in the flesh in some way. God giving strength to the weak, God enabling his servants to suffer for righteousness, upholding him, that shows his power made perfect and even in weakness. It shows that he gets all the glory. The strength doesn't come from us. It comes from him. Remember Hebrews 11, it talks about all those Old Testament saints, and one of the things it says about them was they were made strong out of weakness. Friends, are you weary and heavy laden? Are you sick and sore by sin, or simply tired and weary of life under the sun, of frantically even trying to be God, trying to achieve things for yourself and building your own kingdom, or even weary of serving God in your own strength? Isaiah 40 is a great message to the weary, to the lost, to the despairing. Sin, broken relationships, illness, all manner of things under the sun. They show us our weakness. They exhaust our strength. And some of you know that well. Others of you may need to be convinced that this is God's word for you, because you're not feeling weary. You feel strong. We can be self-reliant. We can think that we're strong in ourselves. And if that's where you are, you need to hear the words of John the Baptizer. I must decrease. He must increase. Would you pray that the strength you draw from yourself would decrease? As 2 Corinthians says, that the power of Christ may rest upon you. Some of us need to be like Jacob. Having wrestled with God, we live with a limp, a reminder of our weakness, that we need God, that we can't do it without Him. Getting a second wind when playing a sports game or if you're running, it can seem amazing. It can seem almost miraculous because you're faint and then somehow strength comes out of nowhere. God's power renewing His servants is a bit like this. Remember, He's the God who raises the dead. His power is made perfect in weakness, and it's not something that you and I can control. And I want to focus your attention as I bring this to a close here on how we receive this strength from God. Look at where the text ends there in verse 31. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Friends, will you wait on the Lord? That doesn't mean being still and doing nothing. It doesn't mean inactivity. But it means looking to Him and relying on Christ. Looking to Him, akin to plugging our phones into the power source for recharging, we draw near to the untiring, eternal God. Jesus said, He is the vine, we are the branches, we can do nothing apart from Him. So rest on Christ. Pray, read the Word, come to worship, fellowship with His saints. These are all ways that God recharges weary servants. Hear the Word, partake of the sacraments, and submit your desires and your cares to Him, for He cares for you. Waiting on the Lord means embracing being human. Acknowledging you do get tired. You do get weary. You can't do everything and be in every place at all times. It means casting off that arrogance that says we don't need rest, that we don't need sleep. Resting on the Lord even means sometimes embracing sleep. Sleep, it's been said, is that daily reminder that we're creatures and not the Creator. We can sleep because God doesn't. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Psalm 4. Even the ability to rest in Christ, that is not something you can do of yourself, but it's the gift of God. So that none of us can boast, but all of us can say, the Lord has done this from first to last. So friends, rest on the God who never needs rest, and look forward ahead to that eternal rest that's yours and mine in Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do acknowledge our weariness and our weakness before You. We pray that the strength that we rely on ourselves, that we derive from ourselves, would decrease, that all of our strength would come from You, our God, that You and Your name would increase, and that You would get all the glory for our lives, so that we would not be able to say, I did this for myself. Lord God, we pray that You would bless each person here as they go from here. Lord, keep them safe as they travel, and Lord, bless us all as we are salt and light in this dark world. Help us to shine as lights reflecting the beauty and the glory of Christ our Savior, the one who has won salvation for us, the one who has entered into heavenly rest on our behalf as an anchor for our souls in heaven, is preparing a place for us. And Lord, thank You for giving us Your Spirit, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Lord, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.